This gospel has always been very intriguing to me because Mark's got this little line of Jesus looking at this rich young man with love, because the young man had been loving God by his actions. And so Jesus, being God as well as man, he loved this man in return. So there's an exchange of love here, but there's a poignant end to it in that he's invited further and he can't go there because he's got all this excess baggage with him. There was a limit. We all have limits to our love, but this man, unfortunately, couldn't go where Christ was inviting, where he could have. He made a choice that was not perfect. He went away loved by God, but he missed an opportunity that God offered him. It's one of my favorite themes in the gospel. Jesus talks about money a great deal and uses that, since everybody on earth is interested in money, at least we all need it to get by, and many make a false god out of it. And so Jesus says, well, he's constantly you telling us how to do this, and this guy could have possibly been an apostle, but he had too many possessions. And Jesus asked a great deal of him. He said, go and sell all this stuff and then come back and follow me. He didn't say that to Peter. Looks like Peter put it in storage, because you see him getting it back again after 3 years. He's back at his fishing business, you know. This man was asked for more. So we too sometimes have things that keep us from doing God's will. And the Lord often will zero right in on that thing that's impeding us and ask us to give it up. Sometimes he gives it back to us after we give it up. You know, it's a test. Sometimes he doesn't. Lost one of my set of keys on this last trip I was on. I was kind of upset about it because they're rather expensive. I have a master, that's real power, a master key, you know. But anyway, I lost this thing, and I just said, St. Anthony, help me, and I found it. But I had to give it up before I found it, you know. I mean, that's kind of a dumb example maybe, but it kind of taught me something about letting go and then trusting. And then an idea came to mind, maybe it's in this one place, fished it right out, said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, St. Anthony. And I went on my way, but I had to give it up first. This theme of letting go and receiving is one that our Lord points out quite frequently. Tonight we're talking a little bit about tithing. I don't talk about money hardly at all here. Everybody here is very generous. But it's kind of a spiritual principle, not just with money, but with our time, is that we get what we receive. I had a very interesting conversation. You know, when we go to these convocations, I'm asked to go by the bishop, but actually I had three bishops talking to me. Sometimes that can be rather boring, but not in our case it wasn't. But it's the things on the side that happen outside of the meetings that often are the most interesting. And one of them was Father Jose, can't think of his one. I don't know his last name. His name is Father Jose. He was a pastor at St. Matthew, my first assignment, right after I left there as associate pastor. And so I was saying, he's back now as an associate pastor, and somebody else is the pastor. I don't know how hard that would be now, come back as an associate pastor. He's in a religious community, and they switch roles. So now he's taking orders from somebody else. But I said, how are you doing, Father, and this and that, because they're doing quite well there. I love that place. It's 18 years ago now, and he said, he really didn't know me, except we've talked over the years about St. Matthew, but we didn't serve together, you know. And he said to me at dinner, he said, there's one thing I always remember about you in this place. I'm thinking, ooh, I wonder what that is. He said you were the one that got the Adoration Chapel going, and is still going. And we had a big, big deal about this. They built an office building there while I was there, condemned the rectory. Thanks be to God, it was a terrible place to live. And so I ended up living elsewhere. And from that building project that I simply observed, we learned a lot about what to do here. I learned a few things to watch out for from that experience. But But the pastor decided to put up this building, this room, and he was going to make it for meetings or offices or something. And some of us realized that God wanted a chapel in there, but he didn't realize it. So God rest his soul. He was dead set against this, and I suggested it. I got shot down. So we just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. It had to be his idea, you know? So one day he came in out of the blue and he said, "We're going to have a chapel here." So anyway, from that beginning of that miracle, then we got adoration going, and then we got perpetual adoration, and then I left. But I just planted the seed is all I did. But I mentioned that story. I'm just pleased to death about it. Same thing with this place. You know, that's the real building project I want to be involved in, is hearts and souls and places where you can pray like that. And the same is true here with this one back here. It started with one seed that started with the pastoral council making a suggestion and blossomed into a place where people can come night and day safely and pray here at St. Ed's. And that's just a great thing. But what's interesting is that all of us who did that, all of us who prayed, all of those who worked so hard to get adoration going, who sustained it for 18 years, who tithed and put that building together that made that room possible, and every one of them are investors, and everybody that's come and prayed there, and every good fruit is it. Christ is going to say to them on the last day of their lives, "Thank you for giving me a place to pray." And the same thing is going to happen to you who have tithed here. And we've done things like everything from the Thanksgiving dinners to RCIA Catholics Come Home, St. Vincent de Paul, paying the light bill. And Christ is going to say, "Thank you for feeding me those dinners, and you had nothing to do with it at all. And yet you did if you contributed." Things that we contribute are, we are investors with dividends, stockholders, and it pays off in ways that are very interesting to see. It's kind of an interesting thing. My life was changed about 30 years ago. I was still a layperson, and I was finally had a really good job and things, but I was still acting like I didn't, if you know what I mean. Went to church I've told this story many times. The priest was up there, or the priest or deacon was saying, "Why don't you just add up all of that which you give to charity, and throughout the year, not just at church, but everywhere, and see what percent of your income it is." And mine was like 0.005%. So I thought, this is not too good. So I began to look at that from then on. It became a theological thing. It became a statement of my faith. And I've lived by that. You take a certain... I recommend this to anybody. Just look at your gross or net income. That's up to you. Take a certain... See what your percent is. See what it ought to be. Give a certain percentage to your church and a certain percent to other things. And we decide what they are. It's very freeing. It's an investment. And everything that you support comes back with interest, even though we can't do everything. You know, you give to St. Vincent de Paul or the missions or something, or here at St. Ed's, you're actually doing all those things, and God's going to thank us for them. It's one way of serving. Prayer is another. If we're not spending our time in prayer every day, we're losing touch with God. If I'm not praying, talking to my spouse, we're beginning to drift apart. And the same with good works. You know, what am I actually doing about my faith? You sit down and say, well, all these things take time and money, but it's really worth it. Another story I know I've told before, but I love this story because it really illustrates to me, along with that one about the chapel at St. Matthew, about how God works in our lives. I went back to New York with a couple of priests a number of years ago now. We went to Father Benedict Groeschel's place, he's now deceased, to a priest retreat. It's like I don't know why we did that. It was such a long ways, you know, 3-hour time difference in the whole 9 yards, but we went back there. We were invited. And so we went there and had this retreat, which actually wasn't that great. But afterward, we went to New York City. I'd been there a number of times when I worked for the airlines, so at least I knew how to get to the city without a taxi in the whole 9 yards. And so we went there, and we stayed at a place called the Leo House. If you ever go to New York, one of the cheap place with a chapel, that's right near 42nd Street. But we went there, and we took one of the things we did that I'd never done before was with those dumb two-decker tourist buses. And so, well, you really look like a rube from the Ozarks. Forgive me if somebody's from the Ozarks. But you really look like you're, you know, boy, talk about looking like a tourist. It's so much fun with the, it's hot and the wind is blowing and stuff. So we went through Wall Street and saw anybody that's got any money in any IRA or something probably has some money there. And that's where people put their money. It's investments, you know, all the big buildings. And one little charity that I've supported for many, many years is a little thing called Xavier Society for the Blind. They give something like 99% of what they give to charity. I learned a long time ago, the part that I don't give to my church is I never give to people that give me pens and rosaries and all that stuff. You know, that goes right in the dump. Well, actually, it goes right to Patty, and then she gives them to the kids. That's what I do with them. But this one, there's no overhead. So that's, I've liked this charity, probably because my eyes are so bad without glasses that I've always had kind of a sympathy for people with bad eyes. So I just do this, you know, it's just something I support. So I have no idea where this place is located. It's just a little storefront somewhere in New York, somewhere in the city. So we're just coasting along, and I saw the Ed Sullivan Theater, which was very exciting because so many great things came out of the Ed Sullivan Theater over the years there in New York. I said, oh, there's the Ed Sullivan Theater. And I'm looking down. There's the Xavier Society for the Blind. And what it was one door and a little thing over the door. That's all it was. I didn't have a clue where to look, but there it was. And I said, look, there's the Xavier. I said, look, there's this. My friend Father Carl Schrey said, so what? Who cares? But I heard the Lord here in my head, and he said, now there's an investment of yours that's going to pay off. After seeing Wall Street, you see. And I thought, yeah, there's one of my investments. I think he said something to me like, there's one of your investments. I thought it was a funny remark in my head, but I thought, yeah, there's an investment. That's one that's going to pay off. And like I've said before, I had a full retinal detachment, I think it was 5 years ago now, and I was talking with the head of OHSU who was involved in that. I had really good, Paul Cook of Happy Memory took me down there the day it happened, got good care. And the whole thing came off except for one little corner that had been laser surgery years ago. And so talk about a scary situation. And so anyway, last year I was talking with the head of OHSU there who was checking me out, this Dr. Wong or Wang, can't remember now. And he said to me, I said to him, he said, well, congratulations, you've got 20/20 vision in your left eye. And I said, how rare is that for somebody who had a full retinal detachment to get that kind of vision? He said, he looked at me, he said, you do realize, Father, you are literally one in a million. I'm not saying there's a connection between that little tithe and that, but it just makes you wonder, doesn't it? And I think about the ones that don't have that, which are people in this parish that had less success with this. It's something, we all have something we have to go through in life. But to me, whether it's that or the Adoration Chapel that many of us supported way back 18 years ago, or the stuff we do here, or even McNary Band Day, you know, and thank you for giving me a band uniform that my Lord might say, what's he going to say to you? What's he going to be holding in his hands? All the stuff that we have here, we put back in the box one day, you know. But what we give to God in prayer, in our sacrifices for our families, in being there for someone and listening to them, in coming to missions if you're called to do that next week, which is a sacrifice, or other things that we do here, or other things for other people in other places, this stuff comes back to us. And so does tithing. The Lord is never outdone in generosity. It doesn't always return in kind in the sense that, you know, we don't always see it right away. But God is never outdone in generosity. You'd be surprised at how God has blessed us and what will he be holding in his hands when we meet him on the last day of our lives. We will be very surprised at what matters to God and what it was important to him about our time on earth. The rich young man in the gospel simply missed, had to be the greatest invitation. How many people in history would have loved to have been him and said yes to God, but the Lord asked something very difficult of him, but he was too attached, and he had to let go. And the same is true for us. What is it that God is asking of me? And this is what God asks us today.